Welcome to the Course Consultant Show, where customer experience and retention bring more revenue and profit into your business. If you're ready to make a bigger impact on your course customers with better curriculum and sustainable processes, you're in the right place. Now, back to the show. Welcome to another episode of the Course Consultant Show. I'm so very, very excited today to bring on a special guest, Lainey. Lainey is a host of the Oh My Growth podcast, where she helps online small business owners get data-driven about their next best month, launch, or collaboration without having to become an analyst to do it. I've been loving Lainey's TikToks, Instagram videos, and podcast episodes. I have been binging these because I love data, I love customer relationship, and I have to tell you, I got this really cool sticker from Lainey, who didn't even know me, just sent her my address, and she sent me a sticker. How cool is that? And I kept looking at it this whole time thinking, I gotta reach out to Lainey. We need to get Lainey on a podcast episode, and here we are, months later, doing this podcast episode. Everybody, welcome. Cheers. Round of applause. Everybody give a hoo-hoo-hoo to Lainey. Welcome, Lainey.
The sticker worked. The whole point of sending those things out, the thank you cards and the stickers, anytime you buy something from me, if you put your like physical address in, I just kind of want to bring the being human back to our online interactions, or just to our interactions period, because let's be honest, the last couple of years, like everything has happened online. And so to be able to send someone a thank you card and just a little fun sticker reminding them that they're the boss, it's kind of, it brings a little bit more of that in real life connection in just a tiny way, but I feel like it matters, and comments like this always validate that for me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I kept it in my journal, and I kept looking at it. And I'm like, every time I looked at it, gotta reach out to Lainey, gotta reach out to Lainey. So I kept telling myself, I'm gonna do it. So this is happening. Lainey, thank you so much for coming on today's episode. I'm so excited to talk about data analytics and how to have better results on repeat. So we are talking a lot about courses, and I just want to talk specifically about some of the things that you've talked on the recent episode, but here I am jabbering on, and I haven't even gotten a chance to introduce you and have you speak about yourself. So could you just introduce yourself and your awesomeness to all the lovely listeners / watchers here on the interwebs?
I'm Lainey Lamar. I kind of am to blame for sort of throwing you off because you said something and it got me all worked up. And then I start just going down that path, which I think is something that we see a lot of online business owners do. So I don't think it will be taken in the wrong way, because we all just kind of have this tendency of seeing something or learning something really exciting and then just going down that path. And sometimes you can get lost doing those sorts of things. And that's why I kind of come into the picture being like, okay, that's great to feel passionate about what you do, excited about what you teach, and really motivated for the people you're showing up for. But is it working? Being able to look at the numbers and understand what the ROI is on all the efforts that you're forth there with your marketing efforts and your promotional campaigns and all these things that you're putting all this time, energy, you know, the most valuable resources you have, and making sure that you're getting a return on those resources or those investments.
Oh gosh, love it. Okay, so I'm gonna ask you a couple questions, and I did not send them to you in advance, so I did not prepare you for the questions.
I feel like we need like game show music.
Right, I know, I need all of your editing skills. Okay, so you talk a lot about analytics. What would you say online business owners should review in terms of their campaign performances? Are there any key performance indicators that we should look at as business owners who either market ourselves for our business or hiring a team of people to actually market our businesses?
So if you are hiring a team, first of all, those people should probably be in a position to be like, hey, and we're going to report on X, Y, Z. Whatever it is that you're hiring them to do, they should be able to provide you some data in return for. If you're doing it yourself, which is how a lot of us start, and how I recommend you start even before you start hiring things out, because You know whether something is worth investing in when you start doing a little bit of it, right? So looking at exactly what are you investing your time in and seeing what that return is. So let's say you're investing a whole lot of time on social media, specifically, let's say Instagram. Are your Instagram followers just following you on Instagram, or are they, you know, clicking through from Instagram onto your website? It's great to look at Instagram insights. Those are really valuable in terms of knowing what kind of videos, what kind of stuff are people engaging with on that platform. But you also want to know what is actually driving them to come over to your website. So like, Or is that even happening? What are they checking out when they get there? What are they so interested in? What is so great about what you're talking about that they are actually willing to leave all the scrolly, interesting things and people and leave that section and go over to your website to see what you have to offer? So really honing in on what the trends are around where you're spending your time. So to say, you know, what is your... where you're investing your time, your money, your energy, and making sure that you're seeing a return on those, or even just establishing what that return is, because that's where you start.
Right, exactly. So I know that you've been on TikTok recently, and I have also been on TikTok. You have so many great episodes about website analytics, and you also recently had an episode of talking about the ongoing relationship with customers and why funnels are not really a thing. I know that on TikTok, going back to my original thought here, is TikTok doesn't allow you to have the link in it, as far as I'm aware, unless you're on a business account, which you can create that link there. And for a long time, I kept asking myself, is it worth it to post all this content and wait until I have all of the followers before getting that link? Will it actually generate website traffic without it? And I decided after several weeks of posting, no, it's not worth it not to have that website link in there. And I think that that is really important to make a personal decision on, you know, how do we bring in new traffic, new audience members and growth? And when you think about it, it's, as you said, it's a whole journey and ecosystem of bringing people to get to know you, to like you, to trust you, and all that good jazz. But it also has to do with what's going to work, what's driving results in your business. And so I want to ask you for a moment and talk about that question and sort of, are funnels a thing? Like, what kind of reinforce that concept for you in your business that you felt the need to talk about why funnels really aren't a thing?
There's a lot that I can say about
big deep
this.
Breath.
But big deep breath. But I'm just tired of people using that imagery where you're supposed to be, you know, you're attracting people. So I guess that's why we're spending time on Instagram and TikTok, to attract people into our funnel. And then we're supposed to build all this rapport in our email list, I guess. And then we're supposed to convert them to the sale and then spit them out at the bottom. And I guess, where do they go from there? I don't know. The funnel's over. I can't even picture it that way, because yeah, you're spending time on the TikTok and on the Instagram and all these places, and that are not necessarily seeing an ROI in terms of money. But if you're seeing engagement on there, that has to count, in my opinion. Because when you're building that relationship, when you're building rapport, when you're making yourself known for a subject, when people are interested in what you have to say, when they're excited to see you show up in their feed, that's all part of the middle part of that building rapport. For people who have already bought from you, from people who are going to refer sales to you. And that's why it can be so hard to measure how are you making sales? Because yeah, you might have an email that you sent out and that's what kind of solidified the sale coming through. But there's so much other stuff that's happening in your business, in how you're showing up for people, that it really impacted how that sale got made, that you really can't account for.
Right, exactly. And I think when we were talking on your Instagram account, you were talking about how people don't immediately stop unsubscribe from all your emails the minute they purchase from you. In fact, they stay connected. They are still probably following you on the social media channels, all the channels that are there that they are following on, and they're really just deepening their relationship with you. And I think that one of the most impactful ways that I look at it that many other people in the customer success and customer experience area look at it in terms of the bow tie funnel, right? So people are coming in one way, we're connecting with them, we're nurturing them, and then eventually the hope is that we will be able to sell and serve them simultaneously. And then after that, we have sort of this other effect on the other side of that where people are then reusing our products. If you sell a course, they are really implementing if you have taught them and you're a coach or a consultant, and then they want to advocate for you. So the advocacy, the brand advocacy, the word of mouth referrals. So if you have an affiliate program or maybe there's some sort of partnership where you have a collaboration with somebody, those relationships stay there. Now, there might be some time where you get very tired and you think to yourself, I no longer need this product, this membership. I was just chatting with some other folks on my Instagram about how someone was saying, oh, I don't want to have a membership cancellation process where I need to hop on a call with somebody to cancel. And I will just leave it at that and say everyone has their own way of maintaining that relationship with their customers, and it's not always linear, as you said.
I love the imagery of the bow tie. It's just so pretty.
Yeah, when I found out about it, I was like, I got to talk about this. Nobody is saying bow tie funnel, so let's talk about it. So you spoke about your recent book, which is The Results on Repeat, and the relationship that you have with a customer or people within your audience and community. Can you talk about what people can learn about inside that book?
Okay, so my book is we start and we go through, you know, what you're publishing and how to publish things in a way that actually will be aligned to getting you results and being able to track what you're putting out there. I think that's the biggest missing piece. And it's because it's not very sexy and it's not, you know, the stuff that you can put in a newsfeed that's very click-worthy. Nobody's excited about tracking their online campaigns. But listen, with all... you may be an exception, but when you say spreadsheets and data to people, usually they're kind of, I'll say online business owners especially, get a little bit squeamish just because they want to stick in that creative zone that feeds them, that they're passionate about. And I get that. I totally get that. But with all of these changes happening with privacy laws and everyone's all up in arms about the iOS updates are ruining my tracking. Well, first of all, it wasn't your tracking. You were using all these other tools to do the tracking for you. And now you're going to have to get a little bit more intentional about how you're tracking your campaigns, your marketing efforts. So I teach you how to do that in the book. And then we spend a couple modules going through how to optimize it, how to troubleshoot the problems that you're seeing in your campaigns, whether that's people are not clicking through or people are not, they're unsubscribing or all kinds of different things that might happen that you want to troubleshoot. But you have to start by one, publishing, and two, tracking your efforts. So I go through a lot of different ways to do that for different types of marketing campaigns too, like evergreen funnels and like sales pages and all. We've got flow charts, we've got process maps, because your girl over here loves those. So
I'm dancing over here because I'm like, flow charts, visual guides, you're speaking my love language.
And that's one thing I don't understand about creative online business owners getting squeamish about, oh, I don't want to put a process in place. Oh, that's fine. Let's draw it. Just draw your process map. Draw the steps that someone has to go through and have that visual representation as your sort of your SOPs, if you will, because people get very, you know, oh, I'm not a systems person. Oh, I'm not a numbers person. Yes, you are. Just get creative about it. Draw it out and you'll see that, oh, Oh, now I can see how everything's connected. If you're not sure how to set up your email sequence, just get some post-its and jot down what message you want to put on each one of those emails and just pop them down and start shifting them around. And you can just see and play with how your setup is, how your workflows are, how your processes are, and what your numbers mean.
Yes, yes, all of this. Yes, I just keep nodding. So I think that, as you were saying, the creative person, and it's funny because I find I'm creative, but also very methodical, if I could use a word to describe myself. So I love doing creative stuff. I was a theater major. I love singing on stage. And at the same time, I love a good flowchart. And so...
My kind of person.
Right. So if you're listening to this and you're a flowchart person... we should be friends. Okay, so go listen to Lainey's podcast.
A flowchart person who loves a good show tune.
Yes, yes, exactly, yeah. If you're enjoying this podcast, I'd love for you to join me inside the free customer success community. Inside the community, we have free workshops every single week to help you improve your customer experience, retain your customers, and grow your recurring revenue. Not to mention, we have lots of fun checking in, getting accountable, and achieving our goals. I can't wait to see you inside. Join me at thecourseconsultant.com/customer-success-community. That's thecourseconsultant.com/customer-success-community. See you inside. Must fit this criteria, swipe left or whatever. I don't know any of that stuff. Okay, So what you were saying is creative people should first think about the process in which they have, and it doesn't have to be boring. You do not have to sit there with your eyes watering over, crying over some spreadsheet because you feel like that creative spark is gone, right? So you can go and create a visual guide like a whiteboard or hire Lainey to help you in some respect or buy the Results on Repeat ebook. And what I love about what you said is that we want to create a process in which, if you are the creative entrepreneur, we can take that and then build off of that. We have a solid foundation. And so what I love doing for my clients and customers is actually building off of what's already working. What is working in your yes. in your process? So in the customer success world, what that looks like is if you have some checklists in your Google Drive that are just swimming around and they look like they're functional, right? They work. What can we do to improve this process for your team as you scale? How can we make this better for your team so that they can implement and support you? And if you're a solo-based business owner, since I know some of the folks who are listening are solo entrepreneurs, now is the time to build the process. Now is the time to set yourself up because you will get sick, you know, and fingers crossed, you will be fine and everything is good. Knock on wood. Anyone who's listening, knock on wood for me, okay? So knock on that wood. If for some reason you need to, you know, go on vacation, right? You want to have these systems
crazy
in place.
Idea.
So, right. Crazy idea to take a vacation. I'm going to Puerto Rico in next week. So I, you know, I got to have an out of office. I have my, you know, I'm going to have this whole process. And to have these, you know, systems and tools and resources to understand, okay, where are some important links in your funnel, right? Where's the landing page? Where is the thank you page? Even just a simple document can just take so much stress off of explaining it to your virtual assistant, your operation manager, or your director of operation manager. And yes, while you help your team understand your processes, give them enough time. Because I see a lot of times people say, I'm in a rush. I didn't have time to put this together, this launch campaign. And now suddenly I need to hire a consultant into the business. And we're not giving enough time for that person to actually learn your systems. And frankly, maybe your systems are not really in decent shape enough to help them actually execute. And then sometimes there's some challenges in the communication and the expectations. And so we don't want that to happen, friends. We do not want that to happen. Customer success means you, your team, and your clients have success. Everybody has success. Okay. So
it's one of
okay.
the things that I see being the most problematic with online business owners is that they look at everything they've built because you stack your gains up on to one another and you try this strategy and you try that new, you know, the new thing that's happening and you add a quiz and you add an opt-in. Okay, you've added all these things. Let's just take a step back, and you don't have to do it all at once. In fact, it doesn't work if you try to do it all at once, but just look at one offer that you have. Okay, so you take that one offer and then you look at one of the ways that you promote that offer and you map that out. And you can do this, you know, at your quarterly reviews where you sit down and you, and when I say offer, I mean a paid offer or a free offer, because those free offers are still things that you're building your email list with, and there's still something that you're out there promoting actively. So anything that's an offer that you're driving people towards you, just map out how each one of your offers is being promoted and how you're attracting people to your brand with those offers. And just taking that step back will also allow you the opportunity to improve so much easier, because another big mistake I see people making is they see what somebody else is doing, what someone else's marketing strategy is, what numbers they're bragging about. And it's like, okay, fine, but what would that look like for you? Or what does that look like for you? You don't actually know what's happening in their business. You don't really know. One of my pet peeves is when people brag about their conversion rates. I actually don't have a problem with people bragging about conversion rates. I think it's the greatest thing to brag about. But let's be specific about what conversion rate we're talking about, right? Because every conversion rate has a beginning and an end. And it's not, oh, my conversion rate for my launch was 30%. Your conversion rate for what? With your launch, and like, what part of your launch are we talking about? So if you have a membership and you're doing, you know, a promotion where you're launching, it's not really launching when you already have it, but you know, the reminder sort of launch of promoting your membership. If you have people coming to your webinar and then you sell them into joining the membership and you say, oh, well, my conversion rate was 30%, and you don't really say that it was for that specific webinar. Also, you leave out that it's the wait list of the people going into the webinar. Like, there's so many little factors that you can use to skew your numbers and your results. And unless you know the full picture of what someone is talking about, of where those people started and where they ended up, you don't know the full picture. And that's how you improve, by the way. So let's say you had 500 people come to your webinar, and then 100 people went to the sales page, and you got 50 people to sign up to your membership. Well, if you can increase your people who actually make it to that sales page even by 1%, you're going to improve your overall results, because you're going to get more people seeing the sales page, because the more people, half of the people who saw that sales page ended up converting to a sale, right? So you want to focus on improving that number. It all depends on what your goals are. It all depends on what your numbers are. And you don't know what somebody else's numbers are. You just know what you're working with and what you can improve on.
Okay, yes, all of that, all of that, all of that with a cup of tea, please. Okay. No, I love that you bring in the numbers and the conversion rates, because there's a lot of complexity, as you mentioned. So views, you know, views on the landing page, for instance, and one of the most tricky things is Thrivecart pages. So if we look at it from the sense of, let's say that you do have 50 people hit the list, or I don't remember the breakdown that you provided, but an example, pretending we're going to say 50 people hit the landing page. From that, there's a call to action button, and then the action button leads directly to a Thrivecart checkout page. How many people from the checkout page actually opted in and started putting in their information? How many were abandoned cart? How many people actually completed and initiated the checkout? And then if we want to layer on Facebook ads on top of that, my goodness, well, any sort of paid traffic, we're going to get really into the weeds about all of the, you know, the nuances between the platforms and the cost per acquisition costs and all of the ROAS and all of that. It's just very complex. And I know you have something to say, so feel free to just chime in.
And that's the point of it, right? Because if you're looking to improve your webinar that converts for your membership, that's cool beans. That's what we're focusing on. We're improving that journey. What will get more people who saw the webinar to click through to that sales page? That's a very different task. It's a very different job than trying to improve the people who came through on your Facebook ads to the webinar. That's a totally different section of your of your whole optimization strategy. So when you focus on that one part at a time, you can really see much better results because you're hyper-focused on seeing better results in that one area as opposed to trying to improve all of the things at the same time.
Yes, that's so true. Important, very important. Continue.
And then you look at like a huge spreadsheet or you go into like a Google Analytics if you're using that or something like that. And you're like, what am I even looking at? Yeah, I get it because you don't actually need all that information when you're trying to improve your sales page journey. So you, if you're using ThriveCart as you used an example for, all you really need is your ThriveCart data. You need to know how many people were registered to the webinar, how many people actually showed up to the webinar, and then you want to look at that sales page data and see what that, map out what that journey looks like, map out what your numbers are, and create a baseline for what you think is, it's not even what you think is good. What you have is good. You're starting from a good spot, and we work on improving that next time.
Yes. Yes, I love it. I'm going to have to get the ebook. Okay, it's happening. Read the ebook. Okay.
It's all Melody in there. Focus.
Yes, everyone listening to this, go run and grab this ebook. It's so fantastic. And just, Lainey's just so smart. So, okay, so one last question as we kind of pull things together here. I want to know, for you specifically, who are also a podcast host, you talk about Own My Growth moments, and I'm going to just borrow this from you for a moment. What would you consider the definition of an Own My Growth moment, and have you actually had an Own My Growth moment recently?
I have Own My Growth moments all the time, and when I stop having them, I think that's when I can just call it quits and wrap it all up because your work will be done here if you're not having the Own My Growth moments anymore. Own My Growth moments are moments when you look at something you're doing and you have that excitement over, oh my gosh, and then I can do this to improve it. Or even you might not be super excited. Like my most recent big Own My Growth moment is I, for many years, talked about Google Analytics. I was a Google Analytics partner. I had dashboards that were housed in Google. Well, it was housed in Google Data Studio that pulled in your Google Analytics data. I helped people better understand their Google Analytics. I'm also a member of the International Association of Privacy Professionals, and I got an email as a member of their organization saying that there was a court case in the EU and that Google Analytics was no longer GDPR compliant. It was no longer deemed as being GDPR compliant because of where they store their data. And it was therefore illegal for us to use to track European Union residents. And so I had this moment of, oh my God, like this is my life's work. Oh my God, what am I going to do? And then you start really looking deeper into why Google Analytics is problematic, what other options there are. And so having to essentially rethink years of just software use, really, because it doesn't change the value of data, of knowing your numbers, but it does simplify it a whole lot when you use other software platforms that are more privacy compliant, like Fathom or Plausible. And it also is very easy to read these as opposed to if you've ever logged into Google Analytics, you're like, oh my God, what am I looking at? Versus logging into a Plausible Analytics and you know exactly what you're looking at and you feel empowered by the sorts of information you're seeing and being able to click around efficiently and not just feeling really overwhelmed. That was a huge Own My Growth moment for me because it's just like, we don't need all of this information to make some really great data-driven decisions. You don't have to be drowning in numbers. You just have to get creative enough to think of, oh, and then what happens next? And what are all the steps? And what are the numbers for all the steps? And it's almost a game if you let it be. But it doesn't have to be super overwhelming. And it doesn't have to be something you have to, quote unquote, learn.
Yeah, I do feel sometimes overwhelmed with all of the data and touch points sometimes. And I think to myself, I just need something that will help tell me a very comprehensive but less overwhelming detail about what's happening. So great, great point. So,
which is also better, like when you're talking about improving, let's say your webinar, to go into your, just sticking with the same example, your webinar that goes to your sales page that goes to signing up to your membership. You have most of that information in ThriveCart. You actually don't need to log into a whole lot of other places. Really try to simplify it as much as possible anytime you're looking at your numbers. Like, really, what do I actually need to know here?
Yeah, I think you're right. Simplification is definitely the goal. It can be hard to get there, but very important. So what would you say last thing people should know if they're a course creator, they have a group coaching program or a membership, maybe a one-off course, and they're trying to get better with their data analytics and how they can use that information to inform their next launch?
So ask yourself, don't step away from the computer, step away from the numbers, the spreadsheets, all the stuff, and just maybe go to the park, grab a notepad and ask yourself, what would I want to see happen in my next launch? What would I like to know about the people to whom I'm promoting? And when you start using that sort of analog brain and thinking like a human being, I know it's weird, but when you start thinking like a person, not like a marketer, you will get so much further in terms of your results, because you'll be targeting people in a way that human beings will respond to, that we like, and you'll actually be honing in on numbers that you are interested in knowing without having to be told what you need to know. You can ask yourself those questions without the spreadsheets, without the data analytics.
Wonderful. Perfect. So where can people find you if they want to learn more about you?
The best place is to come to the podcast. I have the Oh My Growth podcast. They're short, snappy episodes, sound effects, fun, fun, fun. And the book, you can get Results on Repeat by going to resultsonrepeat.com. That's the ebook that I think it's $5 on Amazon. So everything you would ever want to know about tracking and publishing and improving, it's in there. And if you want anything else that we've talked about or want to know more about me, go to live.omygrowth.com/Melody, and all the links for all the things will be there.
Yes, and I'll make sure to add all of these links into the show notes as you've mentioned them from this interview. Thank you so much, Lainey. You've been a blast to chat with. I can't wait to release this episode, and I am excited because I'm going to be chatting with you in just a few minutes on your podcast all about some really cool numbers and data as well.
We're swapcasting.
Swapcasting. All right. Thank you so much for watching today's episode on the Course Consultant Show. I'm super, super stoked to have wonderful Lainey come join us. And if you're not already connected with me and you're watching here on YouTube, or you're just scrolling your feed on Instagram, maybe you're just taking a look here on TikTok or maybe even LinkedIn, make sure that you subscribe to my weekly live stream every single Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Grab a cup of coffee. We'll talk all about customer success for yourself, your team, and for your customers, for your group cohort or program or membership or course. Let's talk all about it. I would love to have you over there. Go ahead and click the link to subscribe and make sure that you join me for my free customer success community. Link in the show notes and the description of this post. Talk with you later. Bye. The episode might be over, but the party doesn't stop. Make sure that you head on over to www.thecourseconsultant.com/customer-success-community so that you can get plugged in, connected, and grow your recurring revenue. That's it for today's episode. Can't wait to see you inside the app. Chat soon.